I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. I'm glad you could join us this week as we get into some cool and geeky things and some strange things. It just goes without saying that it's a strange show when I'm around. Yeah. Yes, Fred, I know that you know that. Good old Fred. Boy, he really threw me. By the way, I just got back from getting a haircut and trim. I have trimmed, well, I let them trim all of the various things upon my face that is hairy. That just didn't sound good at all. Anyway, so I am all coiffed. So yes, Fred, last week, dude, Fred just blew my mind when it came to doing what he did, which is telling me in advance when the Geek Software of the Week was coming, before playing the drum roll. If you're not a regular viewer of the Dr. Bill Show, you're going, what'd he say? Don't worry about it. It's okay. By the way, we are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. I am the computer curmudgeon because I get kind of, shall we say, opinionated about things in the technology arena. It's just the way I am, you know what I'm saying? So, where'd my mouse go? There it is. One has to find one's mouse before one can use it. Just saying. Let me try that again, but this time with words. We are also proud members of the International Association of Internet Broadcasters. I have problems with words sometimes. Fred confirms that, of course. Fred, by the way, for those of you that don't know, the reason I was so excited about Fred letting me know about the Geek Software of the Week last week might come as a surprise to some of you who are going, who's Fred? And why is his name spelled with a PH? You'll have to ask him that. I don't know. But anyway, Fred, of course, is my imaginary friend. A lot of people grew out of having an imaginary friend when they got older. I got older, obviously. And I still have my imaginary friend, Fred. He's just a little cantankerous. Well, Fred, you are. Sorry, but it's true. At least to me. Maybe you're nice to everybody else. Anyway. So, we have stuff, as usual. So let us get into the stuff. It is, of course, stuff that comes from the Dr. Bill blog, which is drbill.tv. As it says there on the screen. And I encourage you to go there and read my various opinionated pontifications. Yes. Mozilla drops Firefox for Metro. Now, I love this article on so many levels. Let's see what it says. Jonathan Nightingale, Vice President of Firefox at Mozilla, announced last week that they had abandoned development of the Metro version of Firefox. That, of course, is what they used to call the modern interface for Windows 8 and above. I still call it Metro because the fact that they picked a name that somebody else already had is just so indicative of how intelligent Microsoft is in the first place that they didn't research and find out who had that name already. They just said, we're Microsoft, we'll call it what we want. And they got sued. Okay. So, Mozilla, though, says they have abandoned development of the Metro version of Firefox. And the reason he gave? The fact that no one cares about Metro. That's the part I love, as you can guess. This is just one more sign that Microsoft is barking up the wrong tree when it comes to this particular interface design. Metro, or the modern interface, or whatever they want to call it this week, should be shelved as a failure. You know, something else comes to mind that Microsoft had a good long time ago, and it was something Bill Gates came up with, and the name escapes me at the moment, but it was such a complete failure that they just pretended they never did it. It was an interface that looked like a desktop from the side. Somebody out there, tell me what it is, because I don't remember. You don't count, Fred. You can look it up on Google. Of course he knows what it is. Anyway. Yeesh. So Nightingale says that in late 2012, when they started the Firefox for Metro team, there was some excitement about it. It took them a while to break open Metro and get Firefox to work in that environment. They are prepared to release Firefox version 1 for Metro. However, after seeing that only 1,000 daily users even cared, 1,000 out of hundreds of thousands and millions of Firefox users, they basically decided there was just no interest. They said, why even bother? Why even have a team develop something nobody cares about? This should be instructive to Microsoft. If they were paying attention and listening to their users, they would just drop the modern Metro environment in favor of desktop that their users could actually use and maybe even like. But as always, Microsoft's not paying attention to its users. It is arrogantly trying to force its users to do its bidding because they are the evil empire. Yes. Had a friend of mine say this week, you know, Dr. Bill, why do you rail against Microsoft when in fact you use Microsoft technologies at work and you manage Microsoft servers and you run Citrix on top of Microsoft and you're always dealing with Microsoft? Why is it you're giving them such a hard time? Perhaps it's because I know them so well. No, to be absolutely fair, many years ago, IBM was the big dog in the computer world, and Microsoft was this young whippersnapper that came along and was trying to defy the evil empire that was IBM. And at the time, I was pulling for Microsoft. Come on, Microsoft, you're the little engine that could going up the mountain, you know what I'm saying? And I pulled for it, and they did well, and sure enough, they took over the world. So perhaps it's just that I'm for the little guy, you know what I'm saying? And I am reminded of the old Howard Cosell bit, where he goes to interview a boxer, and the boxer says, "Boxing has been very good to me, Howard." The fact is, he's been hit so many times, he's punch drunk and half crazed. But he says, "Boxing has been very good to me, Howard." Well, Microsoft has been very good to me through the years, indeed. So I shouldn't give them as hard a time as I do, but it's all in good fun. You know that, right? Yes. All right, speaking of good old Microsoft, Microsoft gives XP users $100 to upgrade their hardware and get off XP. So two good things for Microsoft all at the same time. They get their user base to new hardware, which can better run their newer operating systems, and they get them off XP, which will no longer be supported as of dun-dun-dun, next month, April the 8th. That's it. Fide. Done. Ship your saddle home. Okay? So, I have told you before that XP support is ending, by the way. It shouldn't be news to anybody. But Microsoft's base of users includes about 30% of all internet usage is Windows XP. Now, that doesn't bode well for the fact that by next month, which is only weeks away now, everybody should be off of Windows XP. You know, I just don't see that happening by next early next month, okay? But it means Microsoft needs a big incentive to get their users to move to a later version of their operating system. Now, Windows 7 is a great operating system. Actually, Windows 8, under the hood, the guts of it, is really nice, okay? It's just the stupid Metro interface I have a problem with, which is why I use Classic Shell, classicshell.net. I'll put it up on the screen again. If you haven't gone to Classic Shell and you're on Windows 8 or Windows 8.1, you should do it. Just tell Microsoft and go ahead and move to a real desktop by using Classic Shell, okay? I had somebody write me recently and said, oh, Dr. Bill, thank you so much for telling me about Classic Shell. I can use my computer again. I'll tell you, this is a true story. I am not making this up right here. The email, I didn't make that up. But this is a true story, and it's amazing. I was on the phone with a guy who happens to be a pastor of a church, doesn't know anything about computers, but he had just bought a new computer. And, of course, it came with Windows 8, and he had long been using Windows XP. And so he tried to get on and use the computer and just couldn't do anything. He couldn't find his desktop. He couldn't find his start menu. He couldn't find a start button. He didn't know how to get into any programs. And everything that was on his Metro interface, which is what came up when he bought the computer, was stuff he didn't know how to use and didn't want to use. And so he said, I just thought, what can I do? So I got into his computer across the internet using, actually in his case, I think he used an application called Join.me. I used so many, I have to actually think which one I used with him. Join.me, which, by the way, little hint, little tip, if you've got somebody out there and they don't have TeamViewer and they don't have a lot of other things on their computer that they can show you their screen and let you support them, Join.me is awesome, okay? So you go to the web address, join.me, like it says there on the screen, join.me, and then you can work through getting them connected where you can see their screen. So once I got on his screen, I just very quickly downloaded Classic Shell from classicshell.net. I set it up, and I said, there you go. And I set it to automatically go to the desktop, the actual Classic Shell desktop, instead of going to Metro. I kid you not, this is the absolute truth. The man started crying. Oh, thank you so much. I can use my computer again. And actually, I was pleased that I could help him, in all seriousness, but I was a bit mad at Microsoft, because it's one thing for us geeks that can deal with their stupidity to deal with it and go out and find Classic Shell and use it. It's another thing for these basically innocent users who don't know anything about computing to be stuck with an interface they can't use. They just spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars for a new computer, and then they get home and they can't even use it. Now, that's just wrong, okay? I'm sorry, but that's wrong. So there you go. Little serious point there. But anyway, let's get back to Microsoft. Microsoft is at least doing this. They are giving users, XP users, $100 to upgrade. Now, the problem with this is you got to take your old XP machine to whatever vendor you're buying the new computer from. Step one, you got to prove it has XP by actually booting it and showing it has XP. Then you've got to buy a machine that's at least $599 or more expensive, which these days is not hard to spend, actually. But so anyway, so then they give you $100 off, which is not bad. That pretty much just negates the Microsoft tax, as we like to call it in the computer world, which is the amount of money that you're paying on every computer for the operating system, okay? Unlike Apple, which has decided to give away their operating system free, okay? They say, look, we make enough money on the hardware, we make enough money on the applications, we make enough money from the user community, we're going to give away the OS for free, okay? So Mavericks, that version of OS X, it is now free. Okay. Microsoft still charges. Matter of fact, I just recently looked at a copy of Windows 8.1, and the cheapest price I could, well, The cheapest price I could find that I thought was legitimate, let's put it that way, was $139.99. Okay, and that was on sale. I found one for $109, but it was on eBay, and it was kind of like, you know, they say it's still in the shrink wrap, but I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, point being, either way, it's over $100. So pretty much what Microsoft's doing is saying, look, okay, we'll do away with the Microsoft tax for this PC if you'll go ahead and upgrade and at least get on a Windows 8, all right? So now it's 8.1. 8.1 is out. So probably if you buy a new PC, you'll get 8.1, okay? And put Classic Shell on it, and then you'll be okay. Because I will say this, 8.1, 8 and 8.1, let's say 8.x, is really not a bad operating system. It's fast. It's been very robust. I'm running it right here in front of me on my laptop. Okay, I have no complaints with it other than the interface, which sucks. Okay, so Classic Shell open source saves the day, and we're good. All right. See what I mean about being the computer curmudgeon? I just tell it like it is, okay? All right, what else is going on in our little blog world, the blog-o-rama? Speaking of Obama, blog Obama, no. Obama, the president of the United States of America, met now with CEOs over privacy concerns. That's chief executive officers for those of you in Rio Linda. President Obama met this week with the CEOs of Facebook, Netflix, Dropbox, Box, and other companies in a move to relieve snooping fears. They met Friday of this past week. This is Saturday as I'm recording this, so it was Friday, that they met to discuss the president's proposed reforms on computer privacy, or as they say some places, privacy, perhaps in England. The president told the assembled high-tech CEOs that his administration has a commitment to take steps, to give people greater confidence that their personal rights are being protected while preserving the government's ability to keep us safe. Yeah. Of course, the concern has arisen due to the fact that the government's been caught looking into data and metadata of American citizens, presumably to try to track down and quell terrorist activity. However, Mark Zuckerberg, CEO of Facebook, was quoted as saying that they had at this point an honest talk about government intrusion on the internet and the toll it's taking on people's confidence in a free and open internet, unquote. Zuckerberg had previously taken the Obama administration to task and expressed his frustration over the damage that the government had created in the high-tech industry. He says, quote, unfortunately, it seems like it'll take a very long time for full reform, he wrote, adding that the government spying proposed a threat to the internet. Now, here's the thing. You ought to be thinking about your own security online, all right? You should be using tools. Like, for instance, you can get a browser plugin for Chrome. Matter of fact, let me go over here, and I'll pull down my plugin. It is called Incognito-Filter. Let's put that up on the screen there, Fred. Thank you. Incognito-Filter is a plugin. If you go search Google Chrome plugins, you can find that, install it very quickly, simply, and easily, and then all of your browsing will be hidden. Yes. It's pretty cool. And it's a good way to just to make sure that nobody can track you. You're incognito. There you go. There's a lot of tools like that. So I encourage you to use tools of that nature to preserve your privacy or privacy. Privacy. I like that. That just sounds so official, you know, privacy. All right. Anyway, be aware and change your passwords. You know, you change your underwear every day. At least you should. You ought to change your password fairly often too, okay? Just saying. DirectX 12. Details were given to developers. At this week's Game Developers Conference in San Francisco, Microsoft gave some details on DirectX 12, Microsoft's multimedia API. Microsoft is reporting trying to get closer to the metal quotes. In terms of using hardware resources, which should result in faster performance. Reportedly, the new version will be called Direct 3D 12 and will be a significant departure from the older version of DirectX. Microsoft claims to have overhauled a lot of the API, including three key areas: pipeline state representation, work submission, and resource access. The new APIs are designed to create a richer visual interest, better memory management, and give developers more tools to work with to increase the visual, you know, reality, so to speak, of video games and other graphic applications. Microsoft is targeting Christmas of 2015, so not 2014 now, 2015, so 2 years out, for the release of this new version of DirectX or Direct 3D, whatever they end up calling it. It's said to work, though, with over 80% of all the current gaming machines, PCs that are out there. So maybe you won't have to get a hardware upfit, so to speak, uplift, to use the new DirectX. So that sounds cool. Okay, so, you know, good on Microsoft, all right? We'll give them a few kudos. All right, GlobalSign. GlobalSign is a company that sells SSL certificates. SSL certificates, of course, are very important if you're running a website, all right? And you're particularly if you're doing any e-commerce, you've got to have a certificate to encrypt your data. Basically put it in an encrypted tunnel so that nobody can see the credit card numbers and information that's flying by, all right? So, secure socket layers, SSL, is a certificate. Well, you got to buy one, most cases. And they vary in price range from the thousands of dollars from VeriSign, they charge the most, down to smaller companies that charge less. Well, this company, GlobalSign, has a special deal for open source developers, which this is pretty exciting to me. They want to support open source projects, and they want to make sure that open source developers are using secure connections. So they're giving away a wild card, which is the most expensive SSL cert, to an open source project if it does certain things. It has to be an active open source project. It has to be OSI approved in terms of their license, in other words, truly open source. It has to be non-commercial, and they have to pass a few other simple requirements. But once they do, they can get a full wildcard SSL cert for their website. That's good. That's a good incentive for both open source and for better use of security. That's pretty good. Now, it isn't clear whether this is just a one-time offer or a limited-time offer. None of that was stated, but it is very encouraging this as a sign of support, corporate support for open source. So, cool. All right, now here's another little deal here that I wrote, a little article I wrote about Sandboxy. Put that up on the screen there. Sandboxy sounds weird and funny, but the idea of a sandbox in the computer security world is to encapsulate and protect your computer activity from outside access. Okay, it's in a sandbox, protected arena. All right, think of it as you doing all your computing inside a box that nobody can see into and get into, but you can get out for network transactions. You know, many years ago, I had a computer science friend of mine that was like one of my mentors who said, the only absolutely secure computer is one that is put in a concrete bunker, all the wires to the outside world are snipped, and you can't access it, which probably includes even powering it up. Okay? That would be completely secure. Otherwise, forget it. All right? But we got to take every opportunity to secure our computers that we can. We've got to be as secure as we possibly can, right? Okay, so Sandboxy, the reason I even bring it up is, again, Windows XP is going to be phasing out in terms of Microsoft support for its security patches April the 8th of next month. And there's a lot of companies that are still running Windows XP software. As a matter of fact, I just read an article this past week that said that like 80% of all banks are running their ATMs off Windows XP. Oh yeah, that's smart. The one area you want really super heavy security, they're running Windows XP, which won't be patched anymore. I mean, come on, folks. And you've had plenty of time. The operating system is 12 years old. You've had plenty of time to get off of it, all right? But people haven't gotten off of it yet. So, if you look into Sandboxy, according to their website, here's what they say. The 32-bit edition of Sandboxy can be installed into the 32-bit Windows XP mode, running within a 64-bit version of Windows 7, which, of course, is patched and still current. In fact, they say, quote, the 32-bit version of Sandboxy can run fairly well with a 64-bit Windows 7 environment. Windows XP mode is easier to use than a standalone virtual machine running Windows XP, and it is better integrated into Windows 7. It also includes a licensed copy of Windows XP in terms of using the software. However, this improved integration also creates exposure to the malicious changes operating in the Windows XP mode operating system. With Sandboxy, you can have a web browser which is isolated with its own sandbox, making it more secure than your web browser running directly on Windows 7, unquote, according to their website. Now, there's a free version for home use, there's a pro version you can purchase, and there's a commercial version available for businesses. They also have a product called Invincia Free Space. Yes, sounds impressive. This includes other features such as data protection, real-time detection, notification of malware threats, forensics, enterprise configuration management, and enterprise software updating. Wow, lots of stuff. So something to think about, all right? So, boy, this is a long show. I had a lot going on this week on the blog. Are you considering upgrading, by the way? Then consider Linux Mint. Little commercial here throwing in for Linux Mint, which is open source and free, so it's okay. And I say here in my article, with a lot of businesses panicking as Windows XP operating system's death watch clock is ticking down. Does that sound cool? The death watch clock? Since it's ticking down, then businesses are looking at alternatives to the ancient operating system Windows XP.
The old Windows operating system, Windows XP. Yes, I remember Windows XP.
Anyway. It is ancient in computer terms. It's 12 years old, which indeed is ancient. Okay, so I'm 58. What does that make me? Anyway, in computer terms, all right? In human terms, I haven't even got that middle age yet. Okay, anyway, on April 8th, 2014, Microsoft Windows XP will be dead. I can remember when Windows... I can remember mode. I can remember when Windows XP was released. I was an early adopter. Okay, so much for the old man voice. I was very impressed with the operating system at the time, and it was a vast improvement over previous Microsoft Windows operating systems. In fact, I pushed the company I was working for at the time to upgrade Windows XP to Windows XP as quickly as possible. It's amazing how now you look back and realize that operating system that I was really excited about is now dying, almost dead. Wow. Time just keeps flying right on by, you know what I mean? However, as companies look to changing their software to run on newer versions of Windows, perhaps it is time to consider moving to Linux. Yes. Now, don't say that's impossible until you hear me out. If you're going to have to rewrite your code base on all your applications, particularly internal applications anyway, why not look into Linux? After all, it's arguably more secure, more stable, offers better security overall than Microsoft Windows in any version ever could, and you're not trapped by Microsoft into doing their will. Okay? I know a lot of people say, yeah, but my users are never going to accept Linux. Well, I think that's because you haven't tried it in a long time. Because if you would download Linux Mint, all right, linuxmint.com, Well, you'll never guess what happened just a bit ago. The evil minions of mediocrity somehow turned off my camera's recording, and you missed the whole bit that I was talking about there about Linux. I had to set everything back up. I'd already taken everything down. Sorry if I'm shaking your world there. I didn't mean to. I'm shocked and perplexed and amazed. Nah, you know what happened, don't you? I hit the remote control with my hand and I didn't mean to, and it took it out of record mode. So I'm talking along like everything's fine. And you guys weren't there. Sorry about that. Okay. As I was saying, before I was so rudely interrupted by my finger hitting the remote. You know, this is the thing. I need to put the remote somewhere where it won't be where I can hit it. Okay. I was talking about upgrading to Linux Mint from Windows. And I was saying that if you'll just download the ISO file, burn it, which, by the way, I recommend ImageBurn, ImgBurn, ImageBurn, to burn said ISO file to a CD, then you can boot the CD. And when you boot the CD, you'll be in a mode where you can try it without installing it, okay? And then you can see for yourself that Linux Mint rocks and that your users will be able to use it very easily, okay? You know, I know a lot of people are going like, dude, my users would never be able to use Linux. Are you kidding? Try Linux Mint. You will be amazed. You got a start button. You got a menu with all your software in it. You can surf the web. You can check your email. You can do everything you need to do. Okay? And you can even use Wine, which installs quickly right in the software center there on Linux Mint. And you can even run some of the Windows software. Okay, I've even run eSword, which is a completely Windows version of a Bible application that you can run, e-sword.net. And I've run it easily under Linux Mint using Wine. It's pretty cool. So, check it out. Wow. I actually turned off the camera. Yikes! No! Thanks, Fred. I needed that. Fred, of course, is reminding me that we have a Geek Software of the Week, which I've already covered, but nobody was listening because I turned the camera off. You don't know that. Anyway. Fred does, though. It's the advantage to being an imaginary friend. He sees all and knows all. That's actually a little worrisome. Anyway, you're going like, I don't care. He's your imaginary friend. I don't ever have to deal with him. Thanks a lot. Anyway, so this week's Geek Software of the Week is another great NearSoft, NIRSOFT, NearSoft software utility, freeware utility, called Who is Connected Sniffer? It's one big long word like you see there on the screen. Who is Connected Sniffer? All right. The idea of it is you can sniff out your network. You install it on your local computer. You run it. And you can see who's connected and with what device. Okay? And so you can track down people that may be using your network surreptitiously. Okay? So it's a cool little application. Very handy. So, check it out. Plus, for those corporate folk that want to issue a report, you know, you're no good unless you're writing it down somewhere to send up the ladder to management, right? So you need to be able to put it in a tab delimited or comma delimited or XML or HTML file, which it will do for you. And you can say, look at all these people that are on our network. Who are they and do we care? Yes, of course we do. Yikes. So anyway, so now you have a way of doing it. Free, 100% free, yes! Geek Software of the Week for you this week. You naughty little remote, you. Okay, we came back and turned all the lights back on and got all set back up so we could finish the podcast. So remember until next time that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.